from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Truma, a sign of the final redemption. If we look at Parshat Truma, we see the very first thing is the Ark, the Holy Ark. In fact, the reason it's mentioned first, says Ramban, is that the Ark is the centerpiece. The whole thing, the whole sanctuary is all about Torah. You see, in Judaism, we don't have sort of prayer and then education. Even in our sanctuary itself, the Torah is at the center. Even our sanctuary itself, the Holy Ark is the main thing. So much so, says Rav Herschel Schachter, should live and be well, that when you have a synagogue and there's no Ark, it's not really holy. The whole holiness of a synagogue comes from the Ark. In fact, the Beis Hamikdash itself, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, if it didn't have an Ark, it wouldn't be a temple. Then we have a question. What about the Second Temple? In the Bayish Sheni, in the Second Temple period, from 500 BCE, 516 BCE, until 70 CE, there was a temple, but there was no Ark in it. So we see this. You could have a temple without an ark. There was just a rock. Maybe it was that rock where the Dome of the Rock is. Maybe another rock. So what happened? How could you have a temple without an ark, without the idea of Torah? Says Rosh Hashanah. No, you have to realize something. It says in the Mishnah in Shkalim 6:1, which God willing will learn soon in Daf Yomi, the Neder Mitzvah Hashem, God's help, says there that one time somebody tripped on a rock in the Beis Hamikdash, and they realized that Josiah, Yoshiahu HaMelech, the king, had buried the ark in that particular place. So if they knew where he buried it, why did they uncover it and put it back and put it in the Holy of Holies? The answer is, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, is that they knew that the temple would be destroyed. The second temple was built with like a catch to it. It was built, but they knew it wouldn't really function. It had many things that were not the same. They would ask a question that were in between, it didn't work. There were many things in the second temple that were not signs of the real temple. That's why they cried when they built the second temple. People began to cry. So what are you crying for? It's the second temple. And he said, it's nothing like the first one. It's not just that it wasn't beautiful. Herod made a beautiful temple. But the problem was that it wasn't going to last. They knew that this was temporary. In fact, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, you know, the Medrash says, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Zukanita, it says when God split the sea, that there's the first coming of God into the land of Israel and the second coming of God into the land of Israel. And that's the final redemption. What about the third time? What about the middle time when we went with Ezra and to reconquer Israel? It doesn't count. It's not the real deal. In fact, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, this is going to explain many things. The fact that the Second Temple was not the real deal explains a lot of different things. Number one, why they didn't have the Ark? Why didn't they put the Ark back where it belonged? Says Rabbi Herschel Schachter, the fact that it was there, that it existed in the Temple, that makes the Second Temple still holy because it was there, although albeit under the ground, but it was there. That was the whole holiness. But why wasn't it removed and put where it should be? The answer is they knew it would be destroyed. That explains, he says, why they didn't use Hebrew. Jews in the Second Temple period spoke Aramaic. Read the book of Daniel, Ezra. Read the Talmud, even Jerusalem Talmud. It's all in Aramaic. That was the language. Aramaic, that's the Babylonian language. Why didn't we come back and start Hebrew again? Because they knew this is not the real deal. What about the names of the month? Sure, the Ramban explains that, generally speaking, we have no names of months. First month is Nisan, second month is Iyar, etc. Right now we're in Adar, this is the 12th month. And that's what we should call it because it recalls the exodus from Egypt in the first month. However, when we came back with the second temple, we started calling the names Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. We started naming them with the Babylonian or perhaps Persian names. Why? To remember the Babylonian exodus that we rebuilt the temple and we had a second revival. But really, those are the ideal names, says Rabbi Kamenetsky, because this is not the real redemption. They kept using the Babylonian names because it's not the real redemption. Why do they have a lot of rabbis in the Talmud, Sumchus, people have non-Jewish names? Greek names, Aramaic names, Bibi Bar Abaye, Rav Papa. What kind of names are these? Where are the Jewish names? Because it was not a period of the full redemption. So then, based on Rabbi Kanowski's thoughts, I can't help but thinking the following. If in the second temple they knew it wasn't real, so they didn't speak Hebrew, they stayed with Aramaic, with the language of exile. It's interesting that in this iteration, when the Jews came back in the late 1800s, in 1900s, in 1948, when Israel was established as a state, we spoke Hebrew. And perhaps that's a sign that we don't expect this to be some sort of temporary redemption. We expect this to be the harbinger of the final redemption. So we're doing it right. We started with the rest of Israel, then we conquered Jerusalem. We're speaking Hebrew. People have Hebrew names. People are speaking, what do you call Saturday in Hebrew? Shabbat. It doesn't matter if you keep Shabbat, you don't keep Shabbat. Saturday is Shabbat. Everybody knows. Next Friday is Purim. A month after that will be Pesach. That's when you have your days off. That's when you get your day off from work. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Jews are beginning to live in an ideal kind of way because we realize that there is no other coming back to the land of Israel. Came back once, and that's it, as it says in Amos, the last chapter. God will plant the Jews in the land of Israel, as our salvation explained. There'll never be another uprooting. We're there to stay. And therefore, we begin to do everything right. We speak in Hebrew is that first sign of the fact that we're here to stay. It's for real. It's the real redemption. As we said, a real sanctuary will have the Torah in it. In fact, today, there's a sprouting of Torah like there was during the Second Temple period. A sprouting of Torah, a blossoming of Torah, because Torah and the redemption and the Beis HaMikdash, it all goes together. You can't have a Beis HaMikdash without Torah. You can't have a Beis HaMikdash, a holy temple in Jerusalem, unless people are observing the Torah, learning the Torah, and all the learning that's going on today. Hopefully, it's the beginning. They're building the Ark, that first piece of the holy temple in Jerusalem. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefar Beth Lamed Congregation, our discussion of Parshat Truma. Join us each week for a discussion of the Parsha, holidays, and how-to videos. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.